Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Once again, as I mentioned before the service began, we are leaving behind the first half of the church year, known as the time of Christ, in which we follow the life of our Lord Jesus from his birth to his ministry, to his passion, his suffering and death, to his resurrection and ascension, and his giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Today we enter the second half of the church year, called the time of the church, focusing on our Christian life as we grow in faith toward God and in fervent love toward one another. And what better, what more appropriate way could there be to begin the second half of the church year focusing on our Christian life than to begin with the festival of the Holy Trinity? Doctrine. Confession. The confession of the only true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. And we do so by confessing the Athanasian Creed, this annual tradition that has become concrete in the life of our congregation and many congregations beside. But while this tradition is rather common among our churches, at least our Lutheran churches, sad to say it's not always well received. There are many people who grumble about the confession of the Athanasian Creed. Members, congregations, even pastors and theologians. Why is that? Could it be the length? Perhaps. It is a lengthy creed. But I think most of us recognize that the confession of the divine mystery that is the Blessed and Holy Trinity can't be distilled into a bite-sized soundbite or bumper sticker. Or perhaps could it be the precise terminology, maybe even technical language? Again, maybe. But this doctrine is a divine mystery. And we ought to be careful as to how we think and believe and confess this mystery. It is a mystery beyond our understanding, as much as the mystery of the Incarnation, how God became man, how his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, became the Mother of God, how water, bread and wine can bestow forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. Dead bodies buried in the ground can be raised incorruptible to eternal life. That's why we confess, I believe. Or maybe it's just the use of the word Catholic. Again, possibly, but I think most of us know by now that there's a big difference between Catholic and Roman Catholic. We aren't Roman Catholic, and we never will be. But we are most certainly Catholic in that we are part of that one holy Christian and apostolic church, and therefore we share in the one confession of the Catholic faith. So why the issues with the Athanasian Creed? I think one of the biggest reasons is its exclusivity. We confess whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. You say, must above all hold this faith. Keep it whole and undefiled. Will without doubt perish eternally if not. Cannot be saved if not. These exclusive terms are frankly an unpardonable offense in our day and age. Because we live in a relativistic, tolerant society in which the chief concern when it comes to religion is sincerity, not truth. What matters is not that you have the faith, but that you just have faith. And it doesn't really matter in what. Because in the world's view, all religions have the same basic teaching at their heart. Do good works. And so if you want to follow a historic religion, sure, you can take your pick as to what best suits your opinions. Or if you want modern spiritualities, that's fine also. Just express yourself as an individual. Or if you want nothing at all, sure, because you don't need religion to be a good person. Sad to say, the world's way of thinking creeps its way into the church as well, even into the Lutheran church. People want to find a church that allows them to pick and choose what they want to believe. Some people like justification by faith and infant baptism. That's great. But they don't like closed communion or traditional worship as much. And so in the world's eyes, religion is whatever you want it to be. Individualized to the point of a billion creeds, a billion confessions of faith. But this Sunday, the festival of the Holy Trinity stands in the way of such thinking. It will not allow us to fall into the thought that all religions are basically the same. Because this Sunday, the festival of the Holy Trinity, it teaches us that not all religions have the same basic teaching. There's only one religion that rightly worships the one true God. There is only one that rightly worships one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, the Christian Church. The Christian Church established by our Lord Jesus himself. And doctrines in the church cannot simply be selected or tossed aside based on what the individual thinks, but on the basis of what Holy Scripture teaches alone. And that's why we confess in the Athanasian Creed that this Catholic faith must be held whole and undefiled. For what you believe and confess about God, who He is, will necessarily determine what you confess about everything else. Sacraments, salvation, even worship. Again, the festival of the Holy Trinity stands guard against all the false ideas of the world and reminds us that there is truly only one who has the words of eternal life, one faith that saves, and that is the faith that has been received and confessed by the Christian Church throughout the world, throughout history. One faith true in every single article. In short, the festival of the Holy Trinity reminds us that with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Because in the end, what you believe in your heart is going to be confessed by your mouth. It will simply come forth. That's true for everyone. Everyone has a confession of faith, even if you don't realize it. Even those who say that they're far more interested in deeds rather than creeds are confessing their faith. For them to say deeds are more important than creeds is a creed itself. That's what they believe. It's a confession about how their works relate to their faith. And those who would simply say, well, I believe the Bible, will soon confess their belief as to what that Bible says. What that Bible is. You see, all people have a confession, whether they recognize it or not, for confession is simply stating with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Which brings us to Nicodemus in our gospel lesson this morning. Nicodemus, he had a confession of faith when he visited our Lord Jesus that night. He said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. That was Nicodemus's faith. And that confession of his faith is a very common confession, one that many people, both outside and inside of the church, have. Jesus, he's a good teacher. He taught the world about God. He had a special knowledge of God and of his character. And because of that, he was able to do some special things. To be fair, that's not totally wrong. Nicodemus called Jesus Rabbi, a title reserved for an honored teacher of religion. We know, he said, we believe in our heart that you are a teacher come from God, that God sent you to teach, that you have some standing in God's eyes, and we know, we believe, that God is with you. You have some measure of God's Spirit, God's presence within you. Again, he's not totally wrong. But, on the other hand, his confession is not enough. It was insufficient for salvation. And those who believe, like Nicodemus believed, fall short of the faith that God has given through his word. For their confession is based purely on what they can see, what they can hear, what they can know by human reason. And when that's the case, when your confession is based on human reason, it is not enough to save. Because what's found in the human heart by nature is not faith, not saving faith, but sin. Sin that cannot accept Jesus Christ as Lord or come to him. And whatever faith comes from the corrupted human heart by nature is insufficient for salvation. Indeed, it leads only to hell. So Nicodemus, yeah, he heard Jesus' teachings. He saw Jesus' signs. And that led him to confess that Jesus is a divine teacher. But that's not it. To confess the Christian faith that saves sinners, to confess one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, is to confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is true God and true man, perfect God, perfect man, as we said in the Athanasian Creed. And to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, to confess that he bore the sins of the world, to confess that he paid the penalty for those sins, making atonement for them on the cross by his blessed suffering and death, to confess that, to confess that Christ is risen indeed, one must be enlightened by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God alone. One must be given a new heart, a heart of flesh, as we heard last week. One must be given a new mouth to believe and to confess. For the true and full confession of the Christian faith comes not from human understanding, but rather is given from heaven by God himself in his Word. And so, after Nicodemus confessed his faith, Jesus cut through everything Nicodemus thought he knew. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In essence, Jesus said, you think you know me, Nicodemus, because you saw me teaching, because you saw some signs? Truly, I say to you, you cannot see a single thing about God and his kingdom, unless you are born from above, born a second time. Natural man cannot see the kingdom of God, let alone confess it, and certainly not enter it. You must be born again, born from above, born of water, born of the Spirit, born anew in holy baptism, born of heaven, born of God. And the one who has been born anew in this manner, who's received the new birth of water and the Spirit and holy baptism, is indeed given a new heart with which to believe the Christian truth and be justified, forgiven of all sins, and is likewise given a new mouth in which to confess the one true Christian faith and be saved. It's akin to the prophet Isaiah, of whom we heard this morning as well, whose lips were purified by that burning coal from the altar of the Lord, that he might go out and speak the word of God to Israel. All who believe and are baptized are declared to be children of the Heavenly Father and are made disciples of the Son Jesus Christ and taught by him, are born of the Holy Spirit and enlightened by the Spirit. The baptized, then, filled with the Spirit, do not invent or craft their own confession of faith within their hearts based on what they've seen or heard. They don't confess according to their own whims and wishes, but instead have received, even been taught, the confession of the one true God by God himself. They have been given the very words by which they confess and are saved. Like a loving father who sits down with his little children and teaches them the ABCs by going over them, repeating them time and time again, speaking them, singing them, reading them. This is how we as Christians learn of our triune God from what he has taught us. By speaking, as we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit. And by singing, for thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. And of course, in our reading, the Holy Scriptures, written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And that brings us back to the Athanasian Creed. That's why that creed is so very exclusive in its claims. You must, above all, hold the Catholic faith, whole and undefiled, believing it faithfully and firmly, because it has not been crafted by men according to the whims and wishes of their hearts based on what they've seen or heard. No, rather, it is a confession of the faith taught by Jesus Christ himself, the only Son of God the Father, who testifies to what he has known. It is a divine confession, the confession of a divine faith, one that we are blessed to confess each and every festival of the Holy Trinity. And of course, not just this confession, this creed, but also the Apostles' Creed, the first creed given to the baptized, the Nicene Creed, confessed centuries ago by the Council of the Church, and now confessed when the Church gathers together around the sacrament of the altar to eat and drink the very body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, life, and salvation. These creeds, and indeed every faithful confession of Jesus Christ, is given to you and is confessed by you only in the Spirit. You are able to say, Jesus is Lord, by the Holy Spirit. You are able to say, Christ died for my sins, by the Holy Spirit. You are able to say, Christ is risen indeed, by the Holy Spirit. You are able to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, by this Holy Spirit. And so it is in the Holy Spirit, given you through water and the Word, that you worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. And though you out there this morning are many believing hearts and many confessing mouths, today we confess, and every Sunday we confess, our one faith with one heart and one voice. And not just we ourselves, but faithful Christians all around the world. The miracle of Pentecost continues to this very day, as we worship with saints all around the globe, speaking with many different tongues and languages, and yet worshiping our one God with one confession of the one truth. Even more, we worship with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, just like Isaiah saw in his vision long ago. We kneel before the altar of the Lord, worshiping one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who has revealed the true faith to us and taught us how to confess this faith before others. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. And therefore, let us hold fast to our confession, that confession given to us from above, that many from all corners of the world may come also to hold the Catholic faith with us and rejoice in the presence of the blessed and holy Trinity now and forever. To him be glory throughout the ages of the ages. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.